Get nervous when you go up to preach? I said, I sure do. Wow. I mean, even last night at the candlelight Christmas Eve service, I was a little nervous and began to ask, who are all these people? Where they come from? Kelsey, were you nervous? It's great to have you back. It's a great song. I don't need to preach after that. Norman's prayer and worship team, thank you so much. Let's pray again, and I'll get myself composed, and we'll move on. Father, I thank you for you're teaching me a lot about how to celebrate Christmas in spirit and truth. And so I pray now, may that same Holy Spirit move in all our hearts to adore you for all that you are. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. I'm going to need this a little quicker. We were wondering if we were ever going to get those candles lit. And Casper Sr. had problems, but Casper Jr. did all right. A lot of people don't know Reinhardt's middle name is Casper. You still. I see some hands waving, guys. It's not loud enough in the back. There we go. Hey, now I'm gonna blow you away. All right, that's great. Got thumbs up. Ready to go. Okay, Christmas fears. You got any of them? I tell you, I hate shopping. And Bonnie said she was in the bookstore the other day, and these people were getting very impatient because she was not quite so fast in getting her checkout, trying to find her credit card or whatever, monies and this and that. And have you ever had people like that, and you just got a few minutes, and you got to go catch a bus, do something? Well, anyway, I don't like this Christmas reasons. You know, five reasons why Christmas shopping is bad for your health, and one is rushing. It really drives you insane. How about this one, guys? Putting up the Christmas lights and trying to get them untangled from the boxes, that can drive you nuts. There's a video about this guy, by the way. This is one of my favorites. It's the cleanup after the big meal, you know, and who's going to do it? And look like these people are like us. They don't have a dishwasher other than hands. But some kids really are frightened by this guy in the white beard. You remember the first time you went? I think most of my kids, when they ever saw the guy, they didn't get scared. But anyway, some kids react this way. But not all Christmas fears are a laughing matter. And this is this Christmas, what's going on in Beijing. Lovely day, huh? You look at some of the figures. This was in January, early January. It said 500. You know, you're already at hazardous at 300. But 500 was the reading in January. Well, last week it was 600 plus. That is how bad the smog is in Beijing. How many have been to Beijing recently? Anyone? Out there flying, whatever. Well, I've heard some from a friend. Yeah, it's terrible. Of course, what just took place this past week in Germany and the subsequent killing of this guy. Terrorism has gripped fear in many major cities this year. And in the United States, about 35,000 people a year are killed by car accidents. And this is the type of fear that's gripped my family. My son and his precious wife, Mei Ling, have been involved in car accidents. And Mei Ling is still in recovery from hers in December the 3rd. But equally, a big killer in the United States, about the same actually, is firearms. Kill about 35,000 people annually in the United States. But some people in America think ISIS is our biggest threat. Well, cars and firearms are killing people. ISIS will too if they get the chance to run freely. But how about this place? You know what this is? Anybody recognize this city? Before the Syrian war 5 years ago, this is Aleppo. This is Aleppo today. Real Christmas in Aleppo looks like this. And so some of us fear Assad, some of us fear Putin, their political leadership, as actually in the last year, more Syrians have been killed by their own government than ISIS. But the total of the civil war for 5 years, and ISIS had their part in killing, has been over 400,000 people. That's real Christmas in another part of the world. When you look at this group of leaders, they met in September in Guangzhou, the G20. Does that give you confidence? Does it give you hope? And you see Xi Jinping is going to pull the world together, right? And nobody's smiling. Nobody's really, yeah, I really got hope, you know. Because, you know, there are still a few leaders who strike fear in people. Even this guy, my president, some people are very afraid of him. How about this man? Some people are afraid of him as well. I got spurred on by this guy, Jeffrey Holland. He made a statement, and I kind of copied that bit of the first bit, and then I threw in a little Isaiah. And so I said, this is my political resolve for Christmas. In a world of unrest and fear, political turmoil, and moral drift, I testify that Jesus the Christ is the light of the world, wonderful counselor, almighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Do you guys agree to that? If you do, just stand up. You know, you've been sitting a while, just stand up. Okay? All right? So you agree to that. Okay, now you can sit down. Sit down. All right. That's good to stretch your legs. But, you know, when it gets bad, it could get a lot worse, right? For certain people in certain places in the world where our families are or where we may end up in the future. Remember, this is our testimony. We know who is the light of the world, the wonderful counselor, the almighty God, the everlasting Father and Prince of Peace is none other than the Messiah. So fear not. This is where we're going to go now, and fear not is the title of the sermon. And we're going to look at Christmas fears of old, some of those first Christmas fears. Who do you think this guy is? Anybody? Kids, you know who he is? Yeah. Hey, well done, Isabel. It's Zechariah, and he's in the temple burning incense, and he meets this angel, and this is what happens. You can find this story if you got a tablet or a phone and with a Bible on it, just or you got your own Bible. Follow along, Luke 1, verse 11 through 22, Zechariah. I won't go through all the verses, but I might refer to all of them. That's Luke 1. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, that's Zechariah, and standing at the right side of the altar of incense, when Zechariah saw him, he was what, boys and girls? Startled and was gripped with fear. You know, fear is invisible. You can't see it, but it's kind of like, you know, scares the willies out of you. I walked in, and Bonnie didn't know I was there. She goes, woohoo! You know, where'd you come from, you know? I don't know if Zechariah did, woohoo, in front of the angel, but, you know, he's scared. He's startled. But the angel said to him, boys and girls, what does that say? Come on, boys and girls, help me out. White. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Okay, is he afraid that his prayer is not going to be heard? Or is he what's going on here, angel and Zechariah? What was his prayer? Does anybody know? Mom and dads, come on, you know this one. He wanted a boy. He wanted a baby. Whether they had any little girls, I don't know. But he wanted a boy anyway. And the angel said, hey, look. Zechariah, your wife Elizabeth, it's important to say that your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son because she was an old lady, like Sarah was an old lady in the old scripture, in the Old Testament. And he said, your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. John. Good name. Any Johns out there? No? Okay. Well, anyway. This boy, John, he's going to be a joy and delight to you. And you know what? He's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. And even before he's born in his mother's womb, he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord, their God. He's going to go before the Lord in spirit and power of Elijah. Well, this guy is, you don't know about this kid. You know what else he's going to do? He's going to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. And he's going to make a people ready. Prepared for the Lord. Now, somebody said that to me about my kids. I get excited. Would you? I mean, this is what your new next born child is going to be like.
Well, I'd be ecstatic. I mean, this is, man, Joe and David's going to turn out like that? My two boys? Wow.
Well, you know what Zechariah said. Now, hold on a minute. How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is as well. She's along in years. You can understand his problems. My wife is old, and I'm old. How's it going to happen? Well, who's this angel who made this announcement? He said, look, Zechariah, I'm Gabriel. That's a nice name, kind of angel name. I'm Gabriel. But what does Gabriel do for a living? I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you the good news. I don't work for FedEx or UPS or DHL. I come from the Holy of Holies, the God Almighty who made all the galaxies and all their stars, who created this special earth for a place where he would dwell with his people. But his people rebelled against him in sin, and he had to leave. His glory left this earth, and then it returned here in this baby that's coming up. I'm Gabriel. I know all this stuff, you know, and I've come here and I've come to tell you. And you know what? To prove to you that I'm really the angel Gabriel, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to zip your mouth shut. You're going to be able to communicate. And he was in there for a long time. And when he came out, he started making signs and signals. He could not communicate to people until John was born. And he said, this child will be called John. He was afraid. Angel told him, don't be afraid, because your prayers have been answered. Who's this one? Boys and girls, who do you think that is? Who?
Mary.
Okay, there we go. Thanks, Ben. You're still awake? Well done, bro. That's good. That's Mary. And look at her eyes. Who's that? That's Gabriel. Okay. That's an artist's depiction of who Gabriel looked like. We don't know what he looked like, boys and girls, moms and dads. But this is Mary, Mary's story with an angel. And that's, again, in Luke 1, 11 through 22. That was read this morning at the Advent lighting of the candles. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel, there's his name, Gabriel, Gabriel's back, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's Mary, and the virgin's name was Mary. There's a priest. Go over there. He's lighting the incense in the temple in Jerusalem, but then I want you to go over to Nazareth as well, and there's a little girl, a young virgin. We need to speak to her. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. Now, is she afraid about the words? Is she afraid about Gabriel? What's going on? Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And then, as Reinhard read, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. And how will this be? Mary asked the angel. Since I'm a virgin, and the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month, is in her sixth month. She's said to be able to conceive because she's an old lady, but she's now in a 6 month pregnancy. For no word from God will ever fail. That's a good one to write down and memorize. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Good words. They troubled her at first. She couldn't understand it. There's some fear rising. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Favor with God. Okay, boys and girls, you recognize this guy? Help me out. Are they really that tough, or are we just that sleepy, ready to go home? What do you think? Huh? Joseph, I heard it. That little girl right there. She got it. Excuse me. You shouldn't do that. Okay, that's right. It's Joseph. And his story is found in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. What a lovely song we sang about Messiah. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, Joseph and Mary had not had their wedding, boys and girls. And so you know the way it's supposed to work is you get married and then you have a baby, right? And then he finds out, well, Mary's got this baby. And where do babies come from? Have you guys ever grown up with a stork, you know, that flies in with a diaper and it has a little baby and drops it at a house? Have you ever grown up with that story? Well, I didn't teach that to our kids, but, you know, they were exposed to it. It's a fable from Hans Christian Andersen. But to make a long story short, this is Holy Spirit at work, Joseph. And he didn't know that. And so what? Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Sorry, Mary, I can't marry you, you know. You're pregnant. And I'm sorry, but I don't want to cause you family shame or anything. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. So you'll see Joseph have encounters with angels in his dreams. Versus Zechariah and Mary herself talked to this guy, Gabriel, this angel Gabriel, face to face. This was dreams. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And that was what Norman was praying so much, is that we realize that this is why the baby came, because he will save his people. He will save you. He will save me, as Kelsey sang out, from our sins. All right, this is one of the easier ones, right? And our last one. An angel appeared to the shepherds. And the shepherd's story, you can find that in Luke 2, verse 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. This was Reinhard's passage, excuse me. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. Now it doesn't specifically say Gabriel here. Angel of the Lord was the title that was used for the angel in the dream of Joseph. And here it is again. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Angel and its glory made them terrified. That means really, really super afraid. But the angel said, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Why is that? I should not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Great joy for all the people. I'm stuck here. Help me out. All the people. Let's all say it. All the people. How many people are here? All the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, the Christ, the Anointed One, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Of course, they said this will be the sign. You go to the manger, check it out. And they did, and they found out, yeah, there's the baby in the swaddling clothes. They told everyone there about what the angels had said to them, and they marveled, and Mary's treasured those things in her heart. And then afterwards, after they had visited the manger, they left, and they returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were told, just as they had, which were just as they had been told. Simple shepherds. If not the lowest rung, one of the lowest rung on the economic scale. So if I was God coming here, I would have the G20 meet and I would talk to them, right? No, that's not what God does. But remember, it's for all the people. All the people includes those G20 guys. But he humbles himself and meets with shepherds. The announcement was coming to shepherds to see, and then they went and see Jesus. Well, why does Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds fear Gabriel, the angel of the Lord? Why do we fear messengers of God? Well, it might be because the angel was just brilliant and glorious and so holy and awesome and pure that they begin to see, ooh, man. Can I stand before this creature? I'm just giving you my ideas. But all I know is this brilliant angel, whether it's in a dream or in person, for these people, he said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Mary, don't be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And Joseph, don't be afraid. Take Mary as your wife. And the shepherds, now don't be afraid. Listen to the good news, which is for the whole world. And you guys get to hear the first bit. It's a good performance, a good rendition of Hallelujah by Kelsey. That was like an angel singing in some ways. But these shepherds heard the glorious of the glories of heaven sing. Don't be afraid. Listen to this good news. It's for all the people. Unto you is born this day. Okay. This is where I always come in. You know, at the end of my sermons, I try to go to your heart, all right? Our Christmas fears. We have unanswered prayers. For some of us, some of you may be praying for a child and to be able to birth a child. And some of us who have children are praying that our children will come to know this Christ of Christmas who died for them, who rose again from the dead, ascended on high, gave Holy Spirit and says, listen, work for me, testify for me, seek my kingdom, my righteousness first, and lo, you know, all these other things be added to you, but I'm coming again. And when he comes again, it will be judgment. But have we unanswered prayers? I'm sure we do in this room. We're praying for people to be healed. We're praying for jobs for certain people or for ourselves. We're praying for various relationship. I was praying with some men this morning before the service, and there's one particular family, and I see the ugliness of divorce and they've been divorced and they just keep fighting and I just don't like that and how it impacts the kids. Unanswered prayers. Don't give up. Keep praying. We seek favor with God. Now some of us fall into this trap that we think we're just not good enough. How could God ever love me? I can't get over this certain problem, this sin. And you keep trying and trying and trying, and you just don't seem to get any better. Well, you're listening to the lie. The good news is that you have found favor with God in Christ. Christ led the perfect obedient life. The perfect obedient life. He went to the cross and shed his blood, because that blood is what he pleads on your behalf right now. He prays for you. And he says, Father God, you know James and the way he sinned against you with his words, his deeds, and his mouth. But you know, my blood covers him because I did not sin. I did not, when I walked this planet, I did not sin like James does. And that's what James is holding on to. And so when I hold on to that gospel, my life becomes transformed. And now my obedience is an expression of thanksgiving. I have found favor of God, so why do I act like an orphan when I'm already his child? I'm adopted. And those of you who are adopted, it's a very special thing, because your mom and dad loved you. And they said, I want you. We can't birth you, but I want you in my family. I cannot spiritually rebirth myself. But God shed his blood for me. On the cross, he who knew no sin became sin so that I might be the righteousness of God, that I might be a child of God, that you. I'm trying to personalize this because I don't want you to think that I think I'm any better than anybody in this room. The only thing that makes a person good is the good God who died for you, who died for me. So we seek favor with God. You have his favor. You have his calling. You're his child. Now we need life guidance. You know, should I marry this person? should I leave Hong Kong and go somewhere else to work? Where do my kids go to school? And I know some of you made some recent decisions about school for your kids, and I'm praying for you, but that'll work out. But you do that under the Lord's lordship. We need life guidance. And so like Joseph, sometimes we think, well, have I made the wrong decision? Should I back out of this? And then we just need to listen and get guidance from the Lord, and he will show us what to do. And we definitely need new good news for the world. I mean, it hurts to see certain things going on in this planet, whether it's pollution, other environmental issues, water table destroyed because of pollutants, et cetera, et cetera, wars, disease. And we need to work and fight against that. We need good news to know that God is in control. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. But in the meanwhile, let's do all we can to preserve this planet, to do good and promoting good governance. But we need good news, don't we? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Those of you who have been following Hebrews know this is one of my favorite passages. It's the beginning of the book of Hebrews. It says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe, by the way. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. Remember that glory in the heavens and the angels. And the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. The only reason you and I are here and our molecules stick together is because God has said, may it be so. This is the God who humbled himself. And after he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. We don't need an angel to come tell us do not be afraid. You who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, who know that he was a real person, a historical man, born of a virgin. The only person to be born of a virgin is God. In the flesh, the Word became flesh, and we beheld him as full of the glory and grace and truth. This is our God. What are you afraid about? Father, I thank you for all the men and women, boys and girls who came out on Christmas when they could stay home, but we came to adore you. And like I said, Lord, I'm just learning. Wow. Creator God, the galaxies made by you, and yet you humbled yourself to become a baby, and then to be mistreated and crucified, buried, but nothing can keep you down, Lord Jesus. Yes, as we heard earlier in prayer, you told your disciples, in this world you will have troubles, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. Holy Spirit, I pray now for every man and woman, boy and girl who hears and understands what's going on in this message today, to bring their fears and lay them at your feet, Lord Jesus. You're the Creator, you're the Savior, you're the Judge, you're the one who's coming back again to create a new heaven and earth, the new Jerusalem, and all that awaits. It's not a fairy tale. It's history. Of a God who loves us and loves his planet. And to you we give thanks this Christmas, Lord Jesus, and we adore you. In Christ's name, amen.